Welcome to another inspirational teaching from Bridge Family Church. This message was recorded live at our weekly Sunday service. For more information, visit us online at www.bridgefamilychurch.com. We hope that you'll be encouraged and challenged as you listen to this week's message.
So we're finishing off our series this week. I've got my sermon as well for the end of the month here, and we're just believing for just a great season in the life of Bridge Family Church. But today, we're looking at this series, and it's called, Who is Jesus? And today we're going to be looking at Jesus, our provider. Jesus, our provider. And this is one thing I want to share with all of us. Because we know that He's our provider, that means we shouldn't have to worry about anything. You know, we have to really understand that Jesus Christ came, and one of his purposes to be around, to exist in our lives, is He wants to take care of us. He loves us so much. But here's the sad thing. We spend so much of our time in this life worrying about the future, worrying about what's going to happen next, that so often we can just miss out on the day that's ahead of us, here and now. And did you know that worrying is actually really bad for us? When we worry too much, it's actually really bad. Chronic worry, this is from the Mayo Clinic, chronic worry can cause serious physical problems such as ulcers, heart attacks, high blood pressure, said Dr. Charles Mayo. He said this, worrying affects circulation, the heart, the glands, and the whole nervous system. I have never met a man or woman known to die of overwork, but I have known plenty of people who have died because they worry so much. He says this, that you can literally worry yourself to death. And when I think about someone who's conquered worry in life, there's this Nordic explorer. His name was Bjarne Ingelsson. He was the first person to cross the continent of Antarctica all alone and with no help from anyone. And this is what happened. It took him 64 days to cover 1,675 miles. And so this is how he did it, because in Antarctica, there's really fierce winds. So in 64 days, he trekked 1,675 miles across Antarctica. What he did was he attached this parachute-type sail to his back. And so when it was wind in his favor, he was actually able to travel up to 140 miles in one day while he was carrying 300 pounds or 21 and a half stones of supplies with him during the entire journey. It was monotonous. You just see snow, maybe some Empire penguins or some polar bears, white, and it was temperatures that dipped under negative 40. Think about that for a second. I have been cold in Scotland. You know, the sun's shining, so I think, let me wear a nice jumper out today. But it always tricks me, because just because it's sunny and dry doesn't mean it's going to be warm. So this guy endured 64 days of temperatures as cold as negative 40. And after all his journey and the mental challenge he faced with, everything that he had gone through, this is what he said. It's so big and it was so far that the only way for me to survive was to keep concentrating on the near future and making every day a victory. That's the only way he survived. If he thought about the end journey, he said, I would have never made it, but I just had to think to myself, just make it to the next day. Just make it to the next day. And every day that he went to bed and he woke up this next morning, he just counted it as a physical and a mental victory. And I think our life is so often like that. It's like we're trekking through Antarctica and we're lonely. It's huge. And when you think of what's ahead, it can be overwhelming and daunting. But I think what we have to do is do like what this explorer did. You just take one day at a time. Keep concentrating on every day that's given to us and focus on making every day a victory. Don't worry about the future. And Jesus actually says this in Matthew chapter 6. And he helps us on what to do about dealing with worry, anxiety, and he shows us to put our trust and our faith in him. Why? Because Jesus Christ is our provider. And this is what it says in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make clothing. And yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Verse 32, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and here's his promise for us, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So today, as we close off this series, I want to answer. The answer to my question is in the series is, who is Jesus? Jesus Christ is our provider. And 3 points I want to share. The first one is this: why he provides. Why does Jesus provide for us? Well, verse 30 tells us this: and if God cares wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today, thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why does he provide? Because he cares about us. Because he's a generous God. It's in his nature to give. It's who he is. He's a God that provides. From the beginning of the Bible up to today, we will see God constantly providing for his people. If you go back to the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned and they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, God provides clothing for them. And then in the book of Exodus, we see that he gives his people victory over the Egyptians and takes them across the Red Sea. We see that God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. He gave the Israelites his presence in the pillar of fire and the cloud that guided them through the day. Jesus talks in the Bible. He says, I give you my peace. God gave his one and only Son, the Bible says. And then Jesus talks about how he gave us the Holy Spirit. So when you think about the nature of God, when you think about the character of God, when you think to yourself, I don't know how I'm going to make it or where things are going to come from, I want you to remember that in his nature and who he is and the reality of Scripture, Jesus Christ is someone who constantly gives. And he provides for us because he loves us, he cares about us, and he wants us to know that everything he blesses us with, everything comes from him. And it's his love for us that compels him to provide. He's a generous God that loves us so much. And, you know, it's sometimes hard to maybe to think about it or to understand. Like, I think if I do enough right things, that means he'll take care of me and bless me. But it doesn't work that way. You know, we carry guilt. When you make that decision to follow him, you belong to him. And he will do everything within his power to take care of you because that's how much he loves us. So the things that you need today, the things that you're thinking about, I want you to understand again, God gives and he provides because he loves us. Number two, what does he provide? Verse 32 tells us this: he will give you everything. Can everyone say everything? Say it again, everything. He will give you everything you need. So Jesus, our provider, gives us everything we need. Now I want us to stop and think. He doesn't say he's going to give us everything we want. He says he's going to give us everything we need. And sometimes, and this happens often, what we think we need and what God knows we need are often two completely different things. I don't know if you've ever thought about that or seen that happen in your life, but this is what he says. And one of his promises in Philippians 4:19 says this: and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Because when God looks to provide for us, the things that he provides for us, he's looking for so much more than doing what we ask of him. He's not a genie in a bottle that's just looking to do things for us. But the things that he provides are often character building, They're teaching us to learn to trust him. They're growing us in our faith because he cares more about the process than just making it happen. He sees things from a bigger picture than we often do. And he provides as he sees fit. He doesn't give us everything we want, though many times he gives us the things that we want. And he gives us things that we don't even need. There's so much in my flat today. Julie's going through this phase, which is a good phase even for us. She watched a documentary, read an article off of Facebook, and now she wants to be a minimalist. So we're just downgrading, and we're actually thinking about life. There's stuff in cupboards and clothes that I haven't even touched in over a year. And the rule is, if you haven't used it in more than a year, the chances are you're just not going to use it. And so, especially as we're putting things in storage, we're thinking, well, what do we really need when we come back in a few months? And if some things we haven't even used, it's like we're paying for more storage to hold on to things that we might use once every 5 years. But God still gives them to us, even when we don't need them, because he's a generous God. So what does he provide? He often provides to us a church family. One thing I'm so blessed to be a part of Bridge Family Church is because I feel, and I hope that you do as well, that being a part of BFC is it's more than just coming to church and being a part of a church. It's being part of a family. And maybe Bridge Family Church at just the right time has been an answer to your prayers and exactly what you've needed for this season of your life. He provides finances. Now listen, you might not win the lottery, but if you do, you only have to give us 10% to the church and we'll gladly take it. He might not do that for us, but when there's a need, so often he will come through somehow. He provides friendships. I've seen him cancel debts. I've seen him give people food. He provides relationships. He provides direction for our life. We learned about this at Connect Group this past week. The Bible says that he's a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. He knows how to help us get to the next stage in our lives. He wants to give us direction on a daily basis. But we can't get so focused on what's next. Even when you go back to the book of Matthew, when Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, he says this is how you should pray. And he goes through this list. And one of the things he says, when you pray, say, Lord, give me today. Can everyone say today? Give me today my daily bread. And he goes back to it's thinking in reference to all the way back in the book of Exodus when God's people were free and they were hungry. They didn't know where they were going to get food. And God says to them, listen, Moses, tell the Israelites that every day they were going to go collect manna from heaven. So God poured down this manna from heaven, the quail, birds. It was incredible that God for 40 years provided just enough food for all the Israelites. But he said, every day, I want you to go out and collect the food that you need. Don't store enough for tomorrow. And on the sixth day of the week, store enough for 2 days, but don't try to store too much. And when you do that, every morning, the manna was there. And when they held on for too long, when they stored up too much, the Bible says that they woke up the next day and maggots filled in what they try to take care of. Because sometimes we try to take life into our own hands. But God says, listen, I will provide what you need, but you just have to come to me every day. And here's why coming to him every day is so important. Because when we go to him every day with our needs, we start to build that intimacy with him, and that's what he wants. When you wake up every morning and if you do this, if not, I encourage you to do this, just say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And just finish that prayer. Because as we do that, we're building this relationship and connection with him. And ultimately, that's what he wants. He wants our dependence and our reliance to be on him. Because when he blesses us, we're going to give him credit for what's happening. And I think about that in my life. And at Encounter Night Friday evening, Mary shared about peace. And I started to realize, even in my own life, you know, we have a lot of different tasks that we've been, you know, we're transitioning here. We've got to design this whole packet of information to go back to America. We still have events to put on. I've got to book services. We're trying to find a car. We're going to be on the road for 12 weeks. So my mind already goes really fast, But right now, I'm thinking about a million and one things that I need to get done in time. And now we just found out we have to sell our car before we go back. And if you're stressed out and overwhelmed in life, like, I want you to think about, like, where my mind is right now. Because and I'm already, like, ADHD, so my mind already sits there. And literally, those thoughts go through my mind every day. So when Mary shared this, I realized, and I thought to myself, God, I'm so sorry. Because I have been thinking about so much in the distance that I haven't been able to focus even on my kids, like, in a good way. You know, I spend time with them, I tickle them. And then I woke up on Saturday morning. I said, I know what I need to do today, and that's what I'm going to get done. I said, but one of those things, I'm going to spend time with my kids. Because that's what happens. When we think about the future so much, and we worry about how we're going to go on holiday, or where we're going to go on holiday, and how we forget that today is another day. In the Bible passage, it says, listen, today has enough problems for its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just ask God to give you strength to get through today, and He will provide the direction in life that we need. But the most important thing or person that God provides was a way to salvation, and when He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. And John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, and whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave us Jesus Christ. And I know you, everyone in this room, and I know that we're grateful that He died for us, that Jesus, that God gave us His Son, His provision gave us a way for that relationship to restore to God the Father. And so now, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, our eternity is set to be in heaven forever with Jesus. So be grateful of that. So why does He provide? What does He provide? And the third thing is this. How does He provide? And I think in our lifetime, this is where God likes to show off. This is where He provides often and in different ways through different circumstances. And if we're not careful, then we're going to miss it. If we're not careful to acknowledge Him and how He provides, we're going to miss it. So often His provision comes through another person. Maybe someone here, Bridge Family Church, has blessed you. Maybe it's been a friendship. Maybe it's been an email. Maybe it's been finances. Whatever it could be, maybe somebody here. Sometimes that blessing God provides through another person. Maybe that comes through through a phone call. You receive a phone call of good news, and you have to go back and say, hey, this could be coincidence, or this is God providing for me. Maybe it could be a bag of groceries, something so practical. Maybe He opens up a job for you. Maybe He gives you inspiration for something that you need, a dissertation that you're getting ready to write. God provides. Maybe He will provide through your life. Don't think about how we just want to be people who get, but think about when you just say, Lord, use me today. He wants to use us every day to also be blessings to other people. So He wants to use you. Maybe it's through a dentist. Mary shared this story. Mary, can I share the story real quick? Just a little. So, and I was asking Julie about it. So at Connect Group on Tuesday, I can't remember the question, but Julie says, what's one of your favorite things? Whatever. And Mary says, I love to chew celery. And so, Julie said she didn't go into too much explanation about that. So then at Friday night at Encounter Night, she says, well, up until 3 years ago, for 25 years, she had to blend all of her food. So she had never eaten anything. So 3 years ago, 5 years ago, she went to a dentist who looked at her teeth and said, in a couple of years, you're going to be able to chew again. So he went through a series of operations, fixed it all up, and she says, I'll never forget biting into my first piece of celery. She says, and it's still one of my favorite things. And I asked her, I said, well, Mary, when did that happen? She said, oh, only 3 years ago. So for 25 years, Mary's had to blend her food. So what happened? How did God provide? Well, God sent this dentist when other people said it couldn't be done and we had to wait for it. Yet here we are, and Mary's been enjoying chewing celery and carrots for the last 3 years. He does it so many ways. And one thing, too, is He provides supernaturally. He does supernatural things that cannot be explained. We were looking up testimonies to find out, hey, what can we share? what's exciting. And I think this was in Illinois. In Illinois, there was a little boy who's about 6 to 10 years old, and he was playing in sand dunes. So in this part of Illinois, they had the Indiana. Sorry, they had these huge sand dunes. Anyone ever play in sand dunes? Have you, Keely? Is it safe? It's pretty safe, right? For the most part, I think, you know, you just stay away from where they tell you not to go. But somehow this little boy playing safely, all of a sudden the sand dune collapses on him. So at first he's just a few feet in and his parents see him go in and they try to dig him. And if you know anything about sand that's collapsing, as you try to dig them out, more sand just begins to fill. So they go there, and what happened was, as the parents are trying to dig him out, there was like another sand avalanche, and they said 11 feet high, so almost one story of sand, fell on this 6 to 10 year old little boy. And the parents couldn't find him. They call paramedics, they call service rescues. They come out with these huge diggers, so they're digging frantically trying to find. Could you imagine the weight of 11 feet of sand just coming in on you? And after 3.5 hours of digging, of trying to rescue him, trying to find out where he is, they pull him out, and he's absolutely fine. And this is what happened. So this sand dune is like in the middle of nowhere, but yet there were roots from an old tree that happened to be in this place. And when he collapsed, he happened to find this pocket of air where this old root from this old tree was. So as he's crushed by 11 feet of sand, he was able to breathe because this old branch that was there provided breathing space for him for the 3.5 hours as rescue workers solved. Now, some people could say a massive coincidence. But as the people of God, we know that there are so many times that our God provides supernaturally. But we have to be careful to give him credit. And we have to be careful to pay attention that when things happen big and small, that he's the one who only gets the credit. We've got this video that I want to play. It should be up there, Kayla. Another testimony of God's supernatural provision.
I met Jason when I was 17, and we actually met in church. My dad was a pastor, and he was a guitar player, and I sang on the worship team. And we were married when I was 20, he was 25. And we always thought we had all the time in the world to start our family because we were really young and just wanted to take our time. As the years went on, I was like, wow, this is just strange that it's not happening yet. Going in for your kind of annual physicals, and the doctor's like, I'm surprised that you're not pregnant yet if you haven't been safe, and or if you've been trying, it's been a while. For him to say that kind of made me go, oh, actually made me aware of the fact that maybe this is going to be a little harder for us than we thought. I think it was probably about 7 years into like trying, not trying, trying again. I was like, wow, this is really frustrating. And just kind of I guess as a woman, you start to feel a little like shame and kind of hopelessness of like, wow, this is something that should be natural for me. When there's dreams in your heart of what you expect your future to be and what you expect your, you know, you've got this great, wonderful marriage that I feel so blessed to have, and a wonderful husband who longs to be a father. And you just start to ask yourself, like, why is this so hard? You know, you're in a miracle culture and you're in kind of a supernatural environment, and there's healing all around you. And so you're just ready for your own story to be, you know, come to fruition. So we as a couple, Jason and I, have always wanted to adopt because we really feel like that's going to be part of our family story as well. So we just pursued adoption and just walked through the process of that. And it's been intense, all the applications and interviews. Well, it was last November, and I had not really been feeling well for a few weeks, and I thought it was just the flu that was going around. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get some pregnancy tests on my way home from work today. When you've been through like infertility for several years, it's anything surrounding that topic gets a little bit, there's just a sting to it, you know? I'm just like, oh, I don't want to do this. And I get home and I tell Jason, and he's like, okay, you know, do what you gotta do. You know, I'm here. I didn't even let it finish processing before I like threw it away. Because I'm like, oh, I don't even know if I can handle looking at this again to tell me that it's not positive. I look at it and you know how it's like kind of faded and I'm like, oh my gosh, is this? No. Wait, what? Like, there's no way. I'm gonna take more. I'm gonna take another one. So I wait like an hour, take another test. It's positive. Okay, maybe this is actually, I think maybe, yeah, I think I'm pregnant. Like, this is crazy, right? Like, the emotional, like, wave that goes over you is so intense because you don't realize how heavy it's become until you're like, oh my gosh, I think this weight is being lifted right now. I think this is actually happening. Like, is this real? I think so. God, you're so faithful. And like, just the flood of memories of your journey start coming to your mind. And you know, I'm sitting on the bed of Jason with this test in my hand. And we're just thinking about the last 10 years of our marriage and just the presence of the Lord in that bedroom as we were sitting there together. Like, after that was, I'll never forget it. And I think I must have taken like 6 pregnancy tests in the next couple of weeks until my appointment with the doctor. Cause I'm like, I'm gonna check it again before I go, just to see, just to make sure. Just carrying her and the physical representation of this promise growing like right before my eyes every day was just beautiful. Seeing Jason hold her for the first time was like the other half of the promise fulfilled for me. It was just a holy moment, I guess you could say. It's just like just a thin place, like you could just touch heaven, you know? I guess it did feel like I was touching heaven, you know? So far, 7 weeks in, it's the best and most challenging thing I've ever done. It's just intense and wonderful and joyful, and she feels like the first, and there's more to come. And we look forward to adopting too. We still want to do that. We really feel like that's God's heart for our family. When she looks in your eyes, like she's just started to smile at me, and that's the best thing in the world. Like, there's nothing like that.
Jesus is a provider. He provides supernaturally. You know, they had to wait 10 years for their miracle. And we are impatient people. But he still is providing for people. So celebrate with those. That's why I love to hear testimonies. So celebrate when you hear God doing something special. Share your stories, not in a bragging way, but saying, man, this is happening because God is so good. And understand that through the midst and the trials of struggles and pain, loss and death, and there are times when he gives us a supernatural positive pregnancy test, an air pocket from an old tree, finances that were unexplainable and unexpected, because he provides in incredible ways. And if we begin to try to put a formula or explain how a supernatural God provides for his children, we're going to get ourselves frustrated. We don't know why we have to wait or when it's going to come, but the one thing we can be sure of, as he says in that scripture, don't worry about tomorrow, but just make it each and every day. There's this slope in Longs Creek, Colorado, and there's this massive tree, and it's just kind of torn apart. And before this tree, like you can see it, it's fallen apart, and it's just doesn't look like life would have ever existed out of this tree. But before they saw it, if you go there today and you see it's like ripped up and it's shredded and it's old, dried out wood, scientists say that tree lived before that state for 400 years. It stood up and it weathered storms. Could you imagine 400 years of going through hailstorms and snowstorms and wind and scorching heat? And it was struck by lightning up, they say, up to 14 times. And how did it die? What was its death? It said an army of beetles attacked the tree and they leveled it to the ground. So this tremendous, gigantic tree that age had not withered, that lightning had not blasted apart, that storms had not subdued, fell at last because beetles, so small that we could crush them with our little fingers, but yet ruin this massive tree. And I think in life we survive storms and hail and lightning, but often we're destroyed by the beetles of worry, fear, stress, and tension. And of the small things that eat us up and frustrate us in life. And it destroys our happiness and our effectiveness for God's kingdom. And it's crazy because I think, you know, we can crush a beetle. But anything you're going through, our God can crush. Any fear, he can stomp out. Any anxiety, he can just subdue. All we have to do is put our faith and our trust in him and say, God, I don't see a way, but my trust is in you because you are our provider who will be there for us, who will take care of us, who answers prayers supernaturally.